Last week, I started talking about... Well, first of all, let me just say this. We're going for a period of fasting, and you know this already. Okay? We're going for a period of fasting, and the fasting is not for some and not for others. Everybody should be fasting. The only persons who should not be fasting are people that the doctor says you can't fast, or if you're pregnant. Okay? Maybe there are one or two more. I can't recall anything else. But apart from that, everybody should really be fasting. This year, we're focusing the fasting, just like last year, on 3 days only. So it's intensified. So we're not saying we're fasting 7 days a week. We're fasting Tuesday to Thursday. So that it's if you like, it's short. It's a three-day fast per week, but it's intensified. So we're all praying at the same time and seeking God together, you know, during that period of time. Let me just encourage your hearts that when you're doing this, you're not doing it in vain. It may seem like, it may even come across painful, but that's because the flesh wants what it wants. The flesh is used to food, used to warmth, used to having its own way. And what you're doing by fasting is saying, flesh, no, my spirit is now going to be open to God more than it is when I'm not fasting. So that whatever God is speaking, you know, you can clearly receive and hear it in your spirit. Are you with me? Yes. All right, so as we fast, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, okay, and talks to us. And last week we were reflecting on renewing. So the Holy Spirit will show us what needs renewing, okay? This week, in our prayer and fasting, that is, we're going to be focusing on rebuilding. Is that right, Paul? Rebuilding. So now that we have renewed ourselves and the Holy Spirit showed us what aspects of our lives need renewing, now we're going to focus on rebuilding. Maybe you've seen that. Maybe your prayer life needs rebuilding. Maybe your timekeeping needs rebuilding. Maybe there's something in our attitude that needs changing and it needs rebuilding. You following me? God gets right down to the nitty-gritty, and that's what we try to do in our teachings, right down to the practical things. Maybe your word intake was not as good, or maybe it was, but God wants it to be better. And so we're focusing on that, rebuilding, and God is going to build you and form you into the vessel that he wants you to be, in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Amen. And then the last week of our fasting, we'll be talking about restoring. Now that you're rebuilt, that's not it. You're rebuilt, but now he's going to store you. Go back and make full again. Yeah. So now he's going to place inside of you a greater anointing. Amen. So that you can be used in Jesus' name. And whatever it is, yeah, because it's about the kingdom. Whatever it is that you need in your life, God is going to restore it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So last week we started talking about... we were looking at Moses, and we were looking at the five excuses of Moses. And you've got to be careful here now, because during your fasting and your prayer, the enemy might say, well, this and well, this and well, that, and well, this and well, that. And you've got to be careful that you don't succumb to any of these things that might look good, but actually it's just an excuse for me to not do what I'm supposed to do. You know, the Holy Spirit might be saying to you, I asked you last week if we could have more people coming out earlier to help us set up, so that the people who are serving, worship team, and us, are not sweaty and tired beforehand. That's not happened yet, but in Jesus' name it will happen. I'm just speaking by faith. In Jesus' name it will happen. Okay? Because we're going to be conformed to God's word, and God wants us to serve him, okay, in spirit and in truth. He wants to worship him in spirit and in truth, but he also wants us to serve him in spirit and in truth as well. So, last week we started talking about, and we said a few things that I'm going to remind you of a few things that we said last week. Number one, God is preparing his church for an end time outpouring. So everything that we're doing now, okay, is to prepare ourselves. So we're saying, Lord, yeah, renew us. Lord, rebuild us. Lord, restore. And as God does that, it's with a purpose. And the purpose is an end time outpouring of his spirit, which is already begun in portions of the world. In some certain churches, it's already begun. But in Jesus' name, it's going to happen here at Living Waters Christian Center as well.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, it's going to happen here at Living Waters Christian Center as well.
Amen.
It's going to happen. Otherwise, why are we here? What are we doing? And we're not here. God didn't plant this church to go through the motions. No, we've got enough churches doing that. We want to do God's will. Amen?
Right.
And God's purposes. So, an end time outpouring. That's what he's doing. So, I said to you last week, the four things we need to pursue. Number one, we need to pursue His presence for cleansing. Okay, for cleansing. And that's the starting point. And that's why the psalmist said, preparing me a clean heart, renewing me a clean heart, and creating me, thank you, Clue. Creating me a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me, okay? Cleansing. We don't come presumptuously before God, but we say, Father, wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, okay? And then for shaping. Now, shape us, mold us, transform us, change us, to make us the people that you want to be, or shape us like a potter shapes the vessel, okay, to be used. When it's shaped, it's not ready for use yet, but it's just being shaped. And then we've got to now be equipped, okay, the tools that we need for service, the things that we need for successfully doing God's will. And we cannot do it without the presence of the Lord, can't do it without prayer, can't do it without the word, and that's why these things are important. And certainly the anointing and our gifts that God has given us also need to be used. So we're pursuing His presence for Him to equip us, and also then for demonstrating His power. And I think I said this last week, these are all in order. You can't be used or can't demonstrate God's power if there's no shaping. You can't be equipped if there's no cleansing. He's not going to use dirty vessels. So all of this is in order. So we said last week, no more excuses. No more reasons that we give as to why we can't do what we maybe did in 2022. And if we're going through 2022 the same way that we went through, we're going to go through 2023 the same way we went through 2022, then we will always have what we had. And how many people want more? Let me see your hands. How many people want more from the Lord? So therefore, we're going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and please pay attention to God's word and these teachings as well, because God wants to move us into the position and the place where He can mold us, shape us, use us to do more for His kingdom. Because you are precious in God's sight. You are valuable in God's sight. Okay? You are. And it's important that we see ourselves that way. And I think we're reflecting on this last week. So number one, we looked at Moses, and we're looking at the five excuses of Moses. Moses was called by God to do a great work. And then Moses looked at himself, and I don't think I mentioned that Moses was 80 years old at the time, actually. When he went to Pharaoh, Moses was 80 years old. 80 years of age. Aaron was 83, the Bible says. So these were not young men. So he was looking at all the reasons why he can't, when God says that He can. He was looking at all the reasons why this thing can't happen, when God says, yes, it can happen. So the first thing is, Moses said, well, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He had, that's what I call now, a question of identity. He was looking at himself and maybe having a wrong self-image. Looking at himself and seeing all the reasons why he can't. Looking at himself and seeing all the weaknesses, when God was looking at him and saying, despite his weaknesses, I can use you. And God is still doing the same thing today. He can use you despite you. Okay? So who am I? Then number two, who shall I say sent me? Who shall I say sent me? That's a question of authority. Moses was talking to God, but then he said, well, who shall I say sent me? Well, that's an unnecessary question, really. But that's a question of identity. What do you mean by who shall I say sent me? Who's talking to you, Moses? I, God, am giving you the instructions. You tell them that it's me. And we looked at that. Then number three, what if they don't believe me? That's a question of doubt. So we see already a question of identity, a question of number two, a question of what? What did I just say? This is a question of doubt. What was number two, remember? Sorry? Yeah, who shall I send me? Was a question of authority. That's it. A question of authority, a question of identity. Number two, a question of authority. And number three now, a question of doubt. What if they don't believe me? A question of doubt. And then, of course, God spoke to Moses and dealt with him and told him what he should say. And we're going to pick up from number three, which is where we stopped last week. So the Lord answered and said, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. And I spoke to you about the rod and how the rod is used in different ways in the Bible time. and the significance of the rod, even though it may look insignificant, it has some level of significance. Okay, so, and which one of the things we said is that the rod is used to advance the kingdom of God. And we said the ability to advance the kingdom of God is equal to our ability to break through obstacles. As I put this screen up last week, it looked a little different from what it is now. But I put it up again, and I'm saying it again because it's so important for us to realize this. Church, if you are going to break through obstacles, okay, then that's going to be equal and aligned to your ability, okay, to advance. If you're going to advance the kingdom, then it's going to be equal and be in line to your ability to break through obstacles. You say you're going to serve God, you love God, you're going to go for God. There are going to be obstacles. Can I break through those obstacles? Well, that's going to depend upon the amount of belief that you have in God, the amount of power that is working in your life, the amount of faith that you've got, and your actions that you take, and the amount of word that you have. Are you hearing me? So all these things, okay, either qualify us or lack of them will disqualify us. If you're looking at obstacles and you're saying, whoa, if David had looked at Goliath and said, whoa, he's too big to hit, then he would never have had victory. But he didn't. He looked at Goliath, and he looked at Goliath, and I believe David said, no, this obstacle is big, but guess what? It's too difficult for me to miss. It's too big for me to miss. So no matter what, the God, no matter how big you are, Goliath, my God is bigger. My God is greater. And so God used him to break through that obstacles. You're going to have obstacles on your journey. Different kinds of obstacles. But you're going to have to know how to break through those obstacles. And it's your faith that's going to take you places to do that. So I also gave you this screen as well. Breakthrough is a spiritual victory that removes long-standing obstacles and releases God's people into a new realm of blessing and freedom. A new realm of blessing and freedom. I repeat that. Breakthrough is a spiritual victory that removes long-standing obstacles and releases God's people into a new realm of blessing and freedom. And I believe that God this year, this fiscal year, is going to bring people into a new realm of blessing and freedom. Can I get an amen? Amen. So what we got to do, we got to cast our care on him because he cares for us. Don't carry the cares, man. Don't carry those things. Jesus said, cast them upon me, man. My yoke is easier, my burden is light. We weren't designed to carry cares, but Jesus was. And he said that we should give him our cares, our concerns. Cast them upon him. I like what the Amplified Version says. The Amplified Version of that same verse, 1 Peter 5:7, it says this, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Isn't that good news? He watches over you very carefully. Let that get into your spirit. God is watching over me very carefully. He's concerned about you. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you advance his kingdom. He wants to bless you. We read those verses this morning. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have every good thing that you need in your life. Why? Because we serve a good God. That's why. A good God who gives good things. Now, what we're not going to do is cast our cares on him and then pick it back up again. We're not going to say, yes, Lord, I give it to you in the service, and then as soon as we go through the door, we pick up those cares again and carry it. No, the Bible here says once and for all. Everybody say once and for all.
Once and for all.
Say it again.
Once and for all.
Once and for all. And that's what we're going to do. Once and for all, I give it to Jesus, and it's not mine anymore in the name of the Lord. Let me give you some help here. Casting your cares about your bills. No matter what kind of bills, I don't even need to exhort on that. All of us have bills, apart from the kids. And we know what those can be like. But no, I'm going to give them to the Lord. I'm not going to make this bill stop me from doing what I know I should be doing in my finances. Concerns about relationship problems. No, I'm not going to deviate from God's word and try to fix it my way, because my way is lower than God's way, and God's way is higher than my way. So my thoughts now have to be under the thoughts of God, because his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And so I'm going to do it God's way. Are you hearing me? Concerns about your children. Yeah, they may be wanting. Yeah, they may be this and they may be that. Maybe things are going wrong in your family or whatever it is. And you know about things that may be so private they're embarrassing to talk about, but God knows about them. And what you got to do is cast everything before the Lord in prayer and believe God that change will come. And I know that many of us have gone through, or maybe are going through one aspect or another, you know, with our children. It could be school, kids having problems at school, or being bullied. Cast those cares upon him. Bring them to God in prayer. Listen, folks, there's only so much you can do in the natural, but there's so much that God can do in the spiritual.
Amen.
That's how awesome your God is. He's able to do what you can't do. So God loves you. He loves your children. Bring them before him. Pastor Joe and myself, that's what we've been doing all of our lives. And we still continue to do. All our kids are grown up, they're adults, but we still need to bring them before God. We still give them God's word. We still give them godly counsel. We still get things wrong. You're going to know it from mom, you're going to know it from dad. Get things right, well done. We still do that. And, you know, thank God we are seeing changes, you know. In the lives of our kids, and that's very good. Concerns about your job, concerns about food, about the future, worries about what people say about you. And this is where Moses was, isn't it? Worries about people not believing you. These are cares, anxieties about your needs. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." Okay, Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. When last have you spoken a good word over your situation? Negative though it may look. If all we're doing is talking about what exists and the negative that exists, we're on the wrong frequency. And so we ought not to be doing that. Now, let's look at excuse number 4. Moses looked and he said, Moses said to the Lord, Exodus 4 verse 10, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor after you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Truth is that Moses was a stutterer. And he wasn't quick to come out with his words. Maybe he wasn't quick so much to think on his feet. And you know, some people, when you talk to them, they have an answer for you immediately. And no matter what you say, they come back at you so quickly. They say, "Whoa." But Moses was kind of slow, and he looked at himself and he was saying, "Well, you know, I'm slow of speech." You know? And then what did God say? God said to him, God said to him in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, "So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth?'" Now God is going to remind him of who he is and the ability that God has. "Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord?" And so verse 12. "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you should say." Amen. There are times, folks, that in that moment you're going to have to depend upon God. To depend upon God to say the right thing. Because either the situation comes upon you suddenly, or you don't know what to say. And what you can be doing while you're talking to people, and this is what I do a lot, while I'm talking to people, I'm praying. I'm saying, "Lord, just give me the wisdom to not just say the right thing, but to say it the right way." You know, depending on the situation. So that, you know, you don't come across how you shouldn't come across. That's what you do. That's what we have to do. And we have to, and God wants us to do this. He wants us to depend upon him. Not just lean on your own understanding, not just lean on your own gifts and abilities that you have, but God wants us to trust him with what we have to do what is right to produce the right results. Okay? So he said, "Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you should say." And we know what's happened there with Aaron. Aaron was coming, and God said, "As a matter of fact, your brother is on his way to you now, and I'll use both of you." I'm paraphrasing. I'll use both of you. Go and talk to Pharaoh. So we all know that's what happened. But let me give you some scriptures here, because sometimes we can look at ourselves as well and we can say, well, yeah, I'm like Moses. I don't know quite what to say, or I'm slow with coming out with things, and or maybe things come out wrongly. So how could you use me, God? Because, well, and then what we tend to do is to look around us and see people that are more eloquent than ourselves, people who maybe can put across their words more effectively and efficiently than perhaps we can. And then in our minds, even subconsciously, we can begin to shift things and, say, and maybe even say, Lord, use them. And that's what Moses did as well. But the Bible says here that the Lord, Isaiah 50 and verse 4, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. So God can use you, folks, I'm telling you, in whatever situation you find yourself, he can use you despite you. He can use you. Do not let. Nobody, I believe, that there's no one on this earth who has 100% perfect in every single area of their lives. And when we look through scripture, well, that's what we see. The people that God called, the people that Jesus Christ called and used, were imperfect people. But he used them, he called them and he used them, and he used them greatly. And what we don't want to do is to excuse ourselves now from God using us to do great things for his kingdom because of what we see, the inadequacy that we see in ourselves. We don't want to do that. So we got to now turn to God's word and say, Lord, you said that you've given me the tongue of the learned. So I believe you, Lord, and I believe you will teach me in that moment, in this moment, if it's right now, what to say in Jesus' name. All right, but let's look at another verse. I like this one. Isaiah 32, verse 4. I really like this verse. It says, also the heart of the rash will understand knowledge. And listen to this. The tongue of stammerers will be ready to speak clearly. I may be wrong. Joy and I, we're going to be looking at millennium in our own private study. But I believe this is a millennium verse. You know, this is what it's going to be like in the millennium. But we don't have to wait for the millennium for this to happen. This can happen now. God can give us knowledge, and also the tongue of stammerers, whatever it may be, will be ready to speak clearly. God can use you to speak clearly in whatever situation that you find yourself. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
He will give you the tongue of the learned, man. He'll give you wisdom so that you'll be able to do what he wants you to do and be who he wants you to be. Church, this is the year where we need to really, how can I put this now? Put something more in and be more serious in regard. Don't just gather here because it's a Sunday. Oh, well, it's Sunday. I'm here because it's Sunday. But we're here to be equipped, number one. Amen. That's what the teaching is about. This is your petrol station, I call it, over the years, where you come to get your filling. And that's why the teaching of the word is so important. But it's also a place where you come, three things come to my mind. Number one, it's your infilling. It's where you come to get your food, your refilling, your fuel for the week. Okay? But it's also a place where we come to give God glory and to praise him together. And that's why, you know, I love these guys and the way that they're leading worship. And, you know, both Claude and Jones. And when you just respond to their excitement, to their enthusiasm, to their dedication, as they pray and put these choruses together, we come and we celebrate and we rejoice together with them. Yeah. Amen? Amen? They're not just up here doing it anyway. Just No. But we come together to give God praise together, so that when God begins to do things, he does things with us being together. Okay? And we're together, we're able to push back the forces of hell and push back everything that comes against you. You know that you have an enemy. You know that you have forces coming against you. But you also know that you've got a good God who is on your side. And God is the one who formed church. And church is not just something, a place where we attend. We're the church. And Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. So that means we belong to him. But he will build us. And he went on to say this, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Man, I'm telling you that you're powerful. You are tremendously powerful. And it may not seem like it through our circumstances, but I'm telling you, it's not what it seems like, it's what God says it is. And what we've got to do is really get on God's side and say, Lord, I'm, 2022, I did it this way. No, Lord, this year, I'm going to pursue you more. And Father, I'm going to do it your way. Because I'm expecting great things from you, Father. Oh, this has got one more verse. Proverbs 18, 21, you know this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I could go on, but I'm only giving you three. And those who love it will eat it with its fruit. Excuse number five. After all that Moses went through, after everything and all the answers that God gave to him, Moses still said, send somebody else. Verse 13, Exodus 4. But he said, oh my Lord, by the hand of whomever else you may send. So after all the Lord was speaking to him, Moses still had, if you like, you know what, we're talking about doubt. All of these excuses, you know what's underneath them? Doubt. Because Moses here, by saying send somebody else, was doubting God's ability. Doubting that God can use him. So there was still something that he needed to resolve within himself to be at the place where God wanted him to be so that God can use him to do what was never done before. But Moses had to take his eyes off himself and place it on God. And right now at this stage, the Bible says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. You can't blame him. Verse 14 to 16. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses and Aaron, and he says, I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you should do. And this is the point where he says, all right, Moses, you're doubting me, or you're doubting yourself, or both, but your brother is on his way to you now. I'm going to send him to you, and both of you will go before him. As a matter of fact, I don't know how I didn't see this before, but I've forgotten, or I didn't realize that, you know, with the casting down of the rod, you know, the 10 plagues, and the things that Moses and Aaron did before Pharaoh. It was Aaron's rod. Moses had a rod as well. And the rod was used. But in a lot of the plagues, actually, it was Aaron's rod that was used. And that's one of the things that I saw recently in looking at God's word. But the point being, God here said, I will go with you and I will be with your mouth. Now, Moses, what are you going to say to me? Are you going to make another excuse? Excuses are nails used to build a house of failure. You listen to people's language and you ask them to do something, and sometimes all you're hearing is excuse after excuse after excuse, and actually, there's no substance underneath that. You know what you're doing? I said it to you last week. An excuse is a license that disqualifies ourselves from doing the will of God. When we make excuses, what we're doing is we're giving ourselves permission not to obey God or to be disobedient. What we're doing is doubting God's ability within us to use us to do whatever he wants us to do. And we've just got to be careful sometimes that we don't give it. If Pastor Joy says to somebody, can you stand up and pray? Or can you give a song? Or can you do something in one of the services next week? You know, our attitude, our mindset should be, you know what? Yeah, I can do it. I don't know what, I don't know how, but I'm going to depend upon God. Are you with me, church? Are you listening? I'm saying it's a different approach that sometimes we have to have. You know what? You might be scared. Look, listen, we've all been there. I've been there. We've all been there. Our pastors and elders have been there. Where sometimes you're asked to do things and it's scary. It's scary to do. But it is how you grow. It is when you stretch yourself and you make yourself vulnerable and you place yourself right there and you make yourself vulnerable to God, that is. And God can now take you with your inadequacy, take you with your lack, and then use you for his purposes. Then you come out of that, you're feeling good. I remember, that's how I feel. I feel good at times. And I say to myself, wow. You know, thank you, Lord. I make sure the glory and the praise goes to him. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. Because you see, Lord, me and my ability alone could not have done it. But thank you, Lord God, that my ability plus your ability gives me supernatural ability.
Amen.
And that's what God wants. That's all God wants. Because remember now, I've been saying this over the weeks, that we're workers together. That's how God looks at it. We're workers together. God doesn't want you to do it by yourself. You're trying to fix your relationship problem by yourself. You're trying to fix your finances by yourself. You're trying to fix that problematic neighbor thing by yourself. No, when you should be in prayer and looking to God to help him, to help you rather, to give you the wisdom, the strategy, the know-how to help you. We cannot depend upon ourselves. God doesn't want you to do good things and great things by yourself for his kingdom. He wants you to depend upon him. No matter how small it is, coming in and setting out the seats and preparing for the tea and coffee after church, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is with you. Why? Because that's service. An anointing is for service. It's not for babies. Anointing is not for toddlers. Why? Because babies and toddlers aren't ready yet to serve people. They're all about themselves. They're self-centered. Seven stages of growth. And you know this. And only the last five stages, the anointing kicks in. No anointing in the first two stages. So we got to grow up. And what we got to do is, take a look at this screen. And I've called it the poison of pessimism. What we got to stop doing is looking at all the reasons why we can't. Having a pessimistic outlook, a pessimistic view of things and of yourself and of your circumstances. We're going to stop that and we're going to look to God. Poison of pessimism. If. But, I don't see. I don't believe. I can't. Ooh, we got to be careful. I can't. You can't when you can. I can't come to church, I have a runny nose today. But you get up on a Monday morning and you're going to work with your runny nose. No, we've got to be careful. I'm serious, we've got to be careful. Be careful because you're dishonoring God and honoring your employer. You're saying to God, I can't, when God is saying that you can. I can't, or I don't think. And all these negative things that come up, we've got to change that. Come on, somebody shout change.
Change.
And we're going to make sure that we don't fall into that category. You know, we don't make sure that we're not making excuses as to why we can't do what God really wants us to do. So, as God used Moses, despite Moses, he can use you despite you. So the five excuses of Moses, who am I? I said to you, it's a question of what you remind me. Identity. Who shall I say sent me? It's a question of what? Authority. Know your authority. Know who sent you. What if they don't believe me? It's a question of what? Doubt. And that little word carries such a big thing in it. That I think I did a series in the past on that. A question of that, I think I called it. Or the teaching series, anyway. On that. It's such a big thing that cancels quite a lot in our lives. And we don't even recognize it at times. Number four, I am not eloquent enough. It's a question of what? Ability. I don't know if I said that. So, I'm not eloquent enough. A question of ability. And please send someone else. A question of trust. Because Moses wasn't trusting God that he can use him, despite him. God wants us to trust him. Now listen, church, you can do it. Come on, say you can do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can do it. No matter what it is, you put the it, you know what the it is. But you know what God is speaking to you. You know what God is telling you. You can do it. The Bible says in 1 John 2:17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We've got to get to a place now where we're not talking about doing the will of God, but actually we're doing it. We're doing the will of God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, and whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So when you come in to serve, you serve heartily, serve with a joy, with a smile on your face. I saw Joan up here this morning and she was serving God and bringing us into the presence of God with a smile on her face. Look happy. My gosh, look happy. Do it with a joy. But you know what? That will only happen if your heart is right. If your heart ain't right, then, you know, don't bother put on the fake smile. You should be at the altar saying, Lord, fix me. And you fix it. Fix me, Lord. Because everything springs from the heart. I said this earlier. And if it's not a heart thing, then it's a performance. It's superficial. And then one thing leads to another if you're not careful. You know, you just, anyway, find yourself drifting in the wrong direction. And God is saying, no, come back. This is where I want you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And folks, when you're trusting, you are doing what? Resting. In other words, the struggle is no more. You're not iffy, butty, you're not but this, but, you know, the buts of language of pessimism. You're not there anymore. When you're trusting, you're resting. I teach some time ago on the three levels of faith. I also teach on the 10 levels of faith. But when I taught on the three levels of faith, there is the first level is what? Little faith. I know that he can, but I'm not sure that he will. Then you have great faith. I know that he can, and I know that he will. And then you have perfect faith. And perfect faith says, it's done. You're at a place where you're resting. It's done. The struggle is no more. It's done. Listen, the finances that you need and your bills and everything else, guess what? It's done. Come on, somebody say it's done. God's done it already. Hey, that relationship problem that you have, it's done in Jesus' name. It's done. You've got to get to that place. You've got to get there, and you can only get there through prayer and the word and fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's why I keep saying, and I will keep on saying it, our starting point is the presence of God. Outside of that, you're in the flesh. And the Bible says the arm of flesh will fail. So we don't want to start off in the flesh. We want to start in the spirit. And we want to end in the spirit. No matter how big it is and the situation is, it's not bigger than my God. And my God is able to help you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, he's able to help. Isn't that good news? Don't trust on your own understanding. Lean on him. Let me give you another one. James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So I've underlined, maybe there's more than two, but I've underlined two key words there. Number one, continue. You're looking into the law of liberty, and by the way, that's the word of God. He who looks into the word of God and continues in it, but not continues just to read it and it becomes head knowledge, but does it, but a doer of the work. So everything really manifests itself in outward working. All right? Outward working in service. He who continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this is the one who's blessed in what he does. That's the person, that's the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that God blesses. The one that does his will. The one that serves in his kingdom and not paying lip service only. So, question. Where are you looking? And that's important. Because whatever I focus on becomes enlarged in my life. You got problems, you're going through problems, guess what? If you're going to look on the problems only and focus on the problems, that's what's going to become enlarged in your life. So where are you looking? And only you can answer that question. You get up every morning and all you're talking about is a problem, 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 the problem, problem. That's going to become enlarged in your life. Now, the Bible tells us to call forth those things that be not as though they already exist. So what we should be doing is not looking at the problem. The problems exist. The problem will continue to exist for some time until we shift our focus now and we begin to look at the promises of God, look at the word of God, and then through faith now we begin to declare or call forth those things that don't be. It's not in the physical yet, but we call it forth in the physical until it in the spiritual until it manifests itself in the natural. Are you with me, church? It's like healing. It's like healing. God has already provided your healing. Whatever it is that you may need now in your body, God has already provided it. But we've got to look and we've got to continue to call forth those things, believe that God has done it, it's part of our salvation package, right? And call it forth, declare it into being. And that's why God gave us, you know, the power of words. God did everything through words, and God the Father expects his children to be like him. He expects us to take his word and to release it. Remember, our faith is not released until it's spoken. So we've got to speak it. We've got to declare it. We've got to say it. Because if you don't say it, you won't have it. You've got to say it, and you've got to say it coming from a deep place of knowledge and conviction that what you are saying is right, is truth, and that that truth, because it's God's word, will set you free from whatever it is that is opposing you and telling you you can't have it. Where are you focusing? John 15, verse 5. And that's the last screen I'm showing you today. John 15, verse 5 says this: I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So really, the question really here is, the question I ask myself when I read this, is, am I bearing fruit? Am I bearing fruit? And if I'm not bearing fruit, hang on a minute. Why am I not bearing fruit? Well, let's pause here. The Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22-23 names the nine ingredients that make the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness, etc., etc. These are, if you like, you can call them fruits. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, so is my life producing these things? And when I say producing, is my life, am I putting these things to work in my life? Because that's what that really means. Am I putting them to work in my life so that I can become the person? That's what builds character. Fruit builds character so that I can be the person that God wants me to be. And because when God looks, you know, he's not just looking at your talent. You've got the gifts. Everybody has gifts and talents. But that's not enough in God's eyes. He's looking for character. Your character will take you places where your gifts and your talents won't. Yes. All right, let me put it a different way. Your gifts and talents, okay, no matter how big and how beautiful they are, thank God for them. But guess what, no? Without character, they'll carry you nowhere. You won't get far without character. And your character really speaks about who you are. And so therefore, these ingredients that build the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, are necessary for character building. So that you become the person that God wants you to be, and you're able to now carry yourself with your gifts, with integrity, with class, and not being let down. And I could go on and on and on by saying that. So that's absolutely important. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me. So if I'm going to have these things working out in my life, I've got to abide. When you abide somewhere, you live there. You don't just open your Bible once a week. You don't just open your Bible just before you go to bed. But you're meditating on the Word of God. You're carrying the Word of God with you at all times. And you're practicing the presence of God. Wherever you are, you're carrying that presence with you. And that's what God wants us to do in 2023. He wants us to be more serious, a lot of us more serious than we've been in 2022. And then now we've got to transform that into actions. James 1 verse 22 says, be ye doers of my word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So we've got to hear the God's truth, but we've got to put it into action. And the kingdom of God is our number one priority. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added. What do you want to be added to your life? The Bible has the answer. Put God's kingdom first. Not second place, not third place. I'm going to put this house, this church, make it high on your priority list. Put your talents to work here so that this church can advance the kingdom. We've been slowed down. We've been hindered by a lot of disappointments from people. But we're not stopping. The Word of God is still going forth. God still has his purposes. And God is still bringing the remnant of his people somewhere. And that's been worked all over the world, by the way. So be careful where you have your eyes as well. not to follow those who are actually doing wrong, but to keep your heart steadfast upon Christ and continue to be faithful even in the difficult times. If you can only serve God when it's going easy and then something's wrong. But I you've got to be able to. And I've told myself this, I've got to be able to lift up my hands and worship God and praise Him no matter what is going on. Nothing's going to stop my praise. Because you know what? Your praise is what's going to lead you into victory. It's how God's ordained things. Your praise brings you into victory. You know where your worship brings you? Into the presence of God. John 4:24, God is seeking worshipers. So bow your heads and close your eyes for me, please. I'm done speaking about this now for today. Last week and today, we talked about the excuses. Folks, I want to ask you a question. You know, what hinders you? In your life, what hinders you from doing more for the gospel? What hinders you? What is there anything holding you back? Because God already knows and sees. And all He needs is your acknowledgement. But more than that, He wants to help you. He wants to say, hey, listen, you can't do it by yourself. And that's what we've been hearing over the weeks, and certainly today. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. Right? And that's the only way you're going to bear fruit. By abiding, by living, by staying in my presence. And so whatever it is that faces you today, whatever challenges that face you, maybe you're feeling weak, despondent, maybe a little discouraged. Maybe there's so much going on in your life privately that sometimes it's a little, and I understand that. But listen, God knows about it and God's not embarrassed by what you're going through. As a matter of fact, His arms are open and He says, I want to help you. I really do. But I can only help you if you allow me to help you. I can only do that through arms and hearts that are open toward me. So is anybody here who said, Pastor David, please pray for me because, you know, I just need God's help in whatever it is that I'm facing and going through. I have some challenges, some changes that I need to make. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. And I'm just going to close in prayer today. Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Just, you see, you're not raising it to me, you know. Guess what? You're raising it to God. That's what you're doing. You're raising it to God. And God already sees and knows. Yes, you can put your hand down. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. You know what I love about, you know, this is what I love about this. And I'm going to shut up in a minute. But this is what I love about this. You see, folks that raise their hands, it's what you're saying. I believe a raised hand is an open heart, if you mean it. And God is looking right there at the heart. And He's saying, yes, I'm able to come in and able to work. Yes, sir. You're, by raising your hand, you're saying, yes, I want to change. And I'm telling you that God is here and able to change. He wants to rebuild you. He wants to form you and fashion you into a vessel fit for purpose. If you raise your hand, stand up on your feet. Father, I just want to acknowledge right now your presence amongst us, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Father, for my brothers and my sisters, Lord. Father, as much as I love them, Lord God, I know that you love them even more. And Father, there's so much that's in store for every person on their feet right now. And Lord, we want to thank you for the conviction that's on our hearts right now, Lord, because we need more of you, because we may be a little discouraged, because we're going through stuff, because, Lord God, we know that you want to use us, Lord, and we're making ourselves available to you and say, yes, Lord, use me, because we want to be reshaped, remolded, rebuilt. And Father, I pray for every person standing on their feet right now, Lord God, that whatever their needs are, Lord God, you see and you know it. And Lord, Claude spoke about strength last Tuesday, Father, and we thank you because your word has so much to say regarding that. And Father, we pray that you will give strength now, Father, to every individual. Let them have the courage of God in the name of Jesus. A strength that is stirred up by the Holy Spirit within them, Lord God. a resilience, Lord God, to stand and having done all stand, as Paul puts it. And Father, I pray that whatever the needs may be, whatever, wherever they are, Father, we thank you that your anointing, oh God, is able, Lord God, to break down every barrier, everything that hinders, Lord. We come against it in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ against it. And we say, devil, get out of the way in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll be hindered no more, but we will go forward in the name of Jesus Christ. We will use our gifts, use our talents, Father. Oh God, we will have a fresh insight, a fresh outlook, Lord God, because of the renewing that will be done in our hearts today, Father. In the name of Jesus. And we pray, oh God, that you will come forth, oh God, like never before. That there will be a gushing of might and of power and of strength from the inside, oh God, because of the regenerative work that you are doing in each of your precious children standing on their feet. And that, oh God, you will just break down the barriers, Lord. Oh, remove the hindrances, Father. And that they will have the courage to speak against those things, Lord. And to call forth, Lord, what don't exist as though it already exists, Lord. Give strength and anointing, we pray. Give guidance and hope, oh God, in their hearts, Lord. Knowing, Father, that you have already declared that we are more than conquerors, Lord God, through him who loved us and gave himself for us. So we pour out, Lord, and we thank you for pouring in your goodness, your love, your strength, your blessing, your anointing, Father. All the good things, oh God, that you see and know that we need in our lives. Father, we want to give you thanks, oh God, for doing that and for doing that now in Jesus' name. And we declare in the name of the Lord that this year will be a very different and a very successful year for us, Lord. No matter what is facing us, Lord, we are overcomers, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And our focus, oh God, is on you. Our praise, oh God, goes up to you. Our adoration goes to you, Father. All the glory goes to you, Lord. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Our mouth will not keep quiet. We will not cease to praise you and to thank you, Lord God, for what you are doing even now in our hearts, Lord. Even now, Lord, work, we pray. Work, oh God, we pray. Break down, Father, those things that are there. Those stubbornness, Lord. The things, oh God, that are resilient against the word of God, the purposes of God, the things of God, break it down in the name of Jesus. And oh God, we make ourselves vulnerable to you and to you alone, knowing, oh God, that you are our source and strength. Can we all stand on our feet, everybody? Can we all stand on our feet? Let's all just begin to lift our hands and just begin to do that now. Just begin to say, Father, thank you for what you are doing in our lives, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your glory. Thank you, Father, for your purposes. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for everything that you are doing. Father, thank you, oh God, for the work, the regenerative work being done. Thank you, Lord God, that, oh God, the days of excuses are gone in Jesus' name. We will not build houses of failure in our life, oh God, with the excuse of nails. But, Lord God, we will build, Father, and build your way in the name of Jesus Christ. We will stand as an oracle of God and declare as an oracle of God. And we will, oh God, speak those things, oh God, which are righteous on the earth. And we call forth, oh God, everything that you have ordained for us, oh God, to be the men and the women, the boys and the girls that you've called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for having your best interests in your heart for us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. And the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh God, in the Hebrew, that means that goodness and mercy is in hot pursuit after us, Lord. And we declare in Jesus' name, goodness and mercy has overtaken us. Goodness and mercy is now before us. Goodness and mercy, Father, you specialize in making a way out of no way. And so no matter how difficult it may seem, thank you, Lord God, you're the God of the impossibility. And it's you that we glorify and praise right now. And we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. Church, we need to open our mouths and praise God. Come on. I can't feel you. We need to open our mouths. Release it now. Come on, come on. Release it. Push past that flesh. You need to open your mouth. Release it. Release it. Change the atmosphere around yourself. God is a good God. You serve a mighty God. He's going to do a great work in your life. Release your praise. Release your blessing. Release it in Jesus' name. We give you words, praise Lord. It is well in my family. It is well, oh God, with my work situation. It is well, Lord, in my finances. It is well in our ministry, Lord. It is well with our children. It is well with our parents. Lord, it is well in every aspect of our life. It is well in Jesus' name. We serve a good God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a tremendous God who is able, my God, is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Thank you, Lord, for the release of your power. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. We bless you, Lord, and we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory.